The 7th of December, we have a few games to talk about. We have an injury to Franz Wagner, which I didn't even think to put in the show heading, but we will talk about him. We will talk about Jokic and his big performance, despite the loss and the return of the fantasy goat. This is the Saturday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
It's all that I need. It's all that I need. It's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mom is healthy. It's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm your host, Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us, FBI Basketball, on YouTube, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Please go and subscribe. I know it's you don't really need to nowadays, but we would really appreciate it if you jumped onto those platforms and subscribed anyway. We are also part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. All right, seven games, but we'll start with the Franz Wagner news, which broke, well, it was early this morning when I was writing an article or something. So Franz Wagner, weirdly enough, has suffered the same injury as Paolo Banchero, a torn oblique. So they've said he'll be reevaluated in 4 weeks. Paolo has been out for five. He's probably a week or two away. So we're looking, I think, at probably a six-week injury for Franz Wagner, which puts us at, what are we at, 8th of December. So we're looking at mid to late January, which I don't know when the All-Star break. You haven't looked that far ahead, but probably not a super amount of time before the All-Star break. So this one hurts. And, I mean, how does this impact fantasy value? Well, we're going to have two answers to this question. The answer in a week to 2 weeks is going to be different to the answer now, because we obviously have Paolo coming back in the next 1 to 2 weeks. So the pre-Paolo answer is tough, because there is no one-for-one replacement. And this doesn't happen a lot when it's a superstar going down, or a team that has two superstars going down. So in a weird way, Paolo is probably someone you could sell high. I don't know. It's weird because he hasn't played. But given how good he was early in the season, maybe there's a chance that comes back. I don't know. It's a very odd situation. But in terms of who we're looking at now, who are we picking up? I think this probably just solidifies Goga as someone who needs to be rostered, and he should be rostered anyway. Even beyond Paolo coming back, because the assumption would be that Paolo will just take the Franz minutes. So unless they have a change of heart and they view Paolo as more of a sort of a power forward, and they go a bit smaller and they play Wendell Carter at the center. But based on what we've seen, I would think this helps if you have Batadze. I think KCP has to do a little bit more. I'm not sure you need to run and add him, but yeah, he's going to have to take more shots. They all are. Jalen Suggs will have to take more shots, which is not necessarily a good thing. But in terms of volume usage, that will go up. Mo Wagner is interesting because he obviously can come in and play some minutes at the four, and he can space the floor as well. So he is someone I'd consider, maybe probably deeper leagues. Anthony Black probably has to play a bit more. I really just think it's a few more minutes for a lot of players here. In terms of the players that haven't really been on the radar to this point, I'm thinking it might be Cole Anthony. He could, if he can get to 20 minutes, that's probably deeper leagues as well. But we do know that he scores in bunches. He's a good rebounder from the point guard position as well. So he would be someone to monitor. And then Jet Howard is probably the most intriguing in terms of someone we haven't actually seen in a big role. So if they do opt to go with him, I think he's probably a better option than Da Silva, but they've gone with Da Silva to this point. So there's a lot of unknowns. You can certainly take a flyer on a KCP. De Silva, I'm not really interested in De Silva, but perhaps he plays 32 minutes and can have very, very back-end value. I think there's about five guys here. You just take a flyer and hope for the best. Once Paolo is back, we really just go back to what we've seen the last month, which is probably Gogi Buthadze at centre, Wendell at the four, Paolo at the three, with Suggs and who's their fifth starter? Oh, and KCP. I talked about him. So I think it will just be business as usual. So whoever you do pick up here is probably a 1 to 2 week ad rather than someone long term. So anyway, I've spent far too long talking about Franz Wagner. And I do see a Franz question, Paolo. Yeah, look, Jonathan Isaac. Chad mentioned Jonathan Isaac. He is someone else. My concern with him is that I just don't think he can play a bigger role. Maybe he gets to 22, 23 minutes. If he could get to 27, he'd absolutely be a must roster. And back in when he was healthy, early in his career, you could even have played him at the small forward because of his length and his mobility. But I'm not sure he has that to the same degree given all the injuries now. So he is obviously someone... someone we will keep an eye on here, but I'm not sure he has it in him to play a role big enough. But, yeah, go and grab him if you want to. All right, let's get into the games. There were seven of them. I believe it was seven. It was seven. First of which, Cleveland at Charlotte, which was an early game. It was already going when I woke up, which that was a bit annoying because I had Nick Richards in my active lineup and Mark Williams on my bench, and so I didn't switch them. So that was a bummer. I should say the result. Cleveland get the win, 116 to 102. Evan Mobley had a career-high 41 points. He don't need to talk about him too much. He's been so good this year. Dean Wade started, had 7 points. We are not adding Dean Wade anywhere. Jarrett Allen had 11 and 10. He has slowed a little, still must roster, but the numbers have come down a little bit. Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland were both fine without being exceptional in this one. And then our bench guys, I've got to make this full screen. Let me do that so I can actually see the bench. Caris LeVert, I don't know. He's still fine, I think, but they're not playing him the 30 minutes that we've seen in the past. He's in this 22 to 25 minute range, which makes him very, very borderline. 7 points, 4 assists, a steal, a block is okay, but not must roster. And Ty Jerome, we're not holding him at this point. For the Hornets, as I said, no Nick Richards, no Musa Diabate. He was also a late scratch. So we had Taj Gibson, and that pretty much tells you everything you need to know about this Hornets lineup at the moment. When you've got Taj Gibson playing as your starting center, things are not good. He had 0 points in 17 minutes. Cody Martin, defensive streamer. Josh Green, he's been a bit better offensively the last 2 weeks. It is up and down. He usually gets some defensive stats. 39 minutes is very encouraging. So I don't know. I think maybe I wouldn't say you have to run and grab him, but if he is there, based on usage and volume and time and all that sort of stuff, he might be worth a look. Micic had 13 and 7 with 2 threes in 35 minutes. So not as good as that last game, but again, if he's getting 30 plus minutes, he should be rostered. Brandon Miller continues to play well outside of the shooting, but he's got to do a lot of that because they have no scorers. We had Mark Williams playing 11 minutes in this, so up from the 8 in the last game. He had 12 and 5 in that time. So we don't know what their sort of plan is for returning him to play. But he was, as I said, 11 minutes here. So maybe the next game he's up to 15. He still only played in the first half in this one. So yeah, I'm not sure what they're playing. I think he's must roster. And we don't know if Nick Richards is going to miss time here. He, as he does and as players do, they claim they were fine and then he missed the game. So no indication this is a serious injury for Nick Richards. So he could be back in the next one. But I still think Mark Williams is someone we need to be rostering. And KJ Simpson, who had that really good one game Only 12 minutes. We do not need to be rostering him. All right, on to the next game, Oklahoma City and New Orleans. The Thunder get the win here, 119 to 109. Usual sort of good game for the Thunder. Jalen Williams, very good. Isaiah Hartenstein, very good. Shea, very good. And then it's a whole lot of a bag of just who knows what we're going to get. Lou Dort, 14 points, two steals and a block. That's a 12-team line, but he hasn't been shooting the ball well. Defense has been a bit up and down. Kayson Wallace had 5 points, but gave you three steals. He is really just someone we're targeting if you need steals, I think. Caruso, 14 points, three assists, two steals. The 24 minutes is probably the biggest takeaway for me here, because we know early in the season he was playing 18 to 20. If he can play 24, 25 minutes, he's probably worth considering. And Isaiah Joe took the hit in this one. So he's been good. Here he was not. 0 points on 0 of 2 shooting, and Aaron Wiggins also poor. So all of those guys are in that bucket where we just dip our hand in and see who we pull out. Sorry, I'm reading questions here as they come in. All right, let's go to New Orleans. For the Pelicans, Brandon Ingram left after 19 minutes with an ankle injury. He rolled his foot on Lou Dort's foot. He couldn't put any weight on it. It didn't look particularly bad. It didn't look like a week long. That's bad English. It didn't look like he's going to miss multiple weeks, but he couldn't put any weight on it. That's not a great sign. Let's see what the report is. I'm assuming he will go and get MRI and all that sort of thing. He is certainly not a picture of health, Brandon Ingram, so I would expect some missed games here. And what does that mean? Well, it means Trey Murphy will probably come back into the starting lineup. That's a pretty safe swap, but Murphy's rostered in everywhere anyway. Herb Jones will have to do it a little bit more. He had a nice game here, 24 points. Didn't get us any steals, which is sort of weird, and shot 80%, so we're not going to get that every night. But Jones is still a must-roster player, as is obviously McCollum, Murray, and Misi. Only 8 and 7 with 2 blocks and a steal for Misi. Only. That's a pretty good line, but 29 minutes. So I think it's pretty clear that he is the center that they are going with, and he should be rostered. But maybe the Brandon Boston streaming ad kind of thing just lingers on. I've still got him in two leagues where I haven't actively held him. I just haven't dropped him yet. And he had 11 points here with a steal. He hit a three. Didn't get to the line, but he's typically pretty good from the free throw line. He played 22 minutes. So if Ingram misses time here, maybe we get 26 to 28 minutes of Brandon Boston. And so maybe if you've got him, I would just hold him and see what happens. All right, next game, Denver and Washington. And you would think Denver would get the win, but they did not. Washington, 122 over Denver, 113. For the Nuggets, Jokic did everything he could. Career high 56 points with 16 rebounds, 8 assists. Three threes, 9 of 13 from the line, a little bit below what we expect from him, but numbers here are obviously pretty spectacular. Just didn't get a lot of support. Jamal Murray was out in this one, so we got Russell Westbrook moving into the starting lineup, and this is a Westbrook line if ever you've seen one. Only 7 points, but 10 rebounds, 12 assists, 4 steals and a block. Big minutes, Westbrook should be rostered. Not for everyone, obviously. If you're punting points and don't care about your percentages, he is a target. He only had 1 of 4 from the line here, by the way. Christian Brown had 14 points, a steal and a block. He has calmed down a bit after that red-hot start, but still I think needs to be rostered because the minutes are very nice. Aaron Gordon was also out in this one, which meant Peyton Watson moved back into the starting lineup, but only 4 points for him. We would only add him if Gordon's going to miss significant time. This is related to his calf issue, but I would assume it was just we're against Washington. We're going to rest some guys, and that sort of backfired. Julian Strouther popped off for 18 points with 3 steals and 2 blocks. But again, this is related to the Jamal Murray absence, which I don't think he's going to be long-term. And for Washington, their third win of the season, their first win since October. And the teams, who did I see they've beaten? They've beaten Denver and Boston. Was it Boston? I don't know. They've only won three games and they've beaten two teams, one of them twice. I can't remember who the other one is. So we had no Malcolm Brogdon. Surprise, surprise, he was out. So Bub Carrington did move into the starting lineup. He had 10 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds in 34 minutes. I think he had 8 points in about the first 5 minutes. So, yeah, not great after that, but the 34 minutes are encouraging. The 13 shots are encouraging. I would probably consider picking him up if you can take a bit of a hit in your percentages, because if he's going to play 30-plus minutes, we saw early in the season that he can be a 12-team player. Justin Champagne out of nowhere, 23 points, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 8 rebounds, probably his best game of the year. Feel free to go and grab him. As I said, we had no Brogdon, we had no Kispert, we had no Kyshawn George, we had no Kuzma, we had no Alex Saar. So it took a lot for him to be able to do this, but there's no guarantee those guys will come back. So if you want to take a flyer, it is a weird week, remember, next week, so check the schedule for the Wizards. Koulibaly, 6 points, continues to poo all over your field goal percentage, but he did have 4 steals and 3 blocks, and that's why you drafted him. So forget about that scoring and just focus on the defensive stats. Valanciunas started, and we know if he ever starts and plays 30 minutes, he is a top 50 player, and we got a top 50 line, 20 and 12, with 5 assists and 5 blocks. So if Saar does miss time here, again, no indication that he will, but if that is the case, Valanciunas would, if he was dropped, would be a must-roster player. And Jordan Poole, 39 points, 8 assists, no steals, but you take 39 points from Jordan Poole any day of the week, 9 threes as well. So a very nice night for him. And Marvin Bagley moved back to the bench, which is very good. He had 0 points. We don't need him on our team. Okay, Detroit and New York. Another upset here. The Pistons get the win over New York. For the Pistons, Cade Cunningham, very strong game from him. He's been really good this season, 29, 15, and 10, leading the way for them. Jalen Duren started this one slow. He ended with an okay line, but I'm still okay with moving on from him. I think 12 points with 2 steals against a Knicks team that didn't have Karl Anthony Towns is not super encouraging. Tim Hardaway continues to start, but nothing there for him. Tobias Harris was okay here. 8 shots is pretty disappointing. He had 13 and 9. We just hold him and ride this wave a little bit. Jaden Ivey had 16 points with not much else and didn't shoot the ball particularly well from the line or from the field. So he's a hold, but his upside is pretty limited. And Malik Beasley just continues to shoot the ball very well despite coming off the bench. So he's a streamer that sort of turned into a month, 3 or 4 week ad. And we just keep riding him. If he has a bad game, I wouldn't drop him. Just he's playing so well. So I would, if he does have a bad game, I'd give him 2 or even 3 before making that move. And Isaiah Stewart continues to do nothing off the bench. For the Knicks, as I said, no Karl Anthony Towns in this one. He was game time decision, I think. So he would have been close. This, again, could have been a situation where they thought, hey, we're up against Detroit and we're at home, and it backfired. Jericho Sims started, and this is what Jericho Sims does. He had nothing. Precious Achiuwa, though, he came off the bench, had 6 points, 10 rebounds, a steal and a block. If Towns misses time here, I think I would go and grab Achiuwa. Their other starters were all pretty decent here. It's really just their lack of depth shines through in losses like this. Anunoby, the defense stuck in this one, 4 steals, 2 blocks, 17 points. The shooting was a bit off, 6 of 15, but everything else was very good. And Miles McBride, still sort of a stashy kind of an ad, 8 points in his 27 minutes, only 7 shots. So he'll be better than this in most games where he plays 27 minutes. So I still don't mind him as someone you can just throw on your bench and wait for that opportunity. All right, Dallas and Toronto. Dallas get the win here. Toronto came back. Dallas were up big, and Grady Dick. A large performance from Dick. Let's start with Dallas, though. PJ Washington had 13 points, 5 rebounds, steal and block. Very PJ line. Klay Thompson, interesting. He had 20 points here with a steal and 5 rebounds. Now, I picked him up yesterday in a 16-team league looking for points and threes and free throw percentage. I got points. I got threes. I didn't get free throw percentage. 25 minutes, encouraging-ish, I guess. He's back up to sort of closer to that 28-minute mark. So I'm going to hold him. I'll see how he goes for another couple of games. In standard leagues, I'm still not sure that I'd be adding him, but we do know he can get hot. So, let's see what happens there. Derek Lively, only 7 points with 6 rebounds and 2 blocks. But the 27 minutes, again, very encouraging compared to Daniel Gafford's 20. So I still think Lively is the preferred option here. Gafford had 10 points, 6 rebounds, 3 blocks and a steal in his 21 minutes. And in 21 minutes, he is a must-roster player. Doncic, triple-double, looked good. Kyrie looked very good as well. Dinwiddie cooled off here, 11 points on 1 of 6 shooting, but 8 of 8 from the line from Dinwiddie. We'll take that, but didn't offer anything else. So I think Dinwiddie's time as a 12-team asset has come and gone. Okay, on to the Raptors. RJ Barrett, solid enough, 18 and 5 with 4 rebounds and a steal. Didn't shoot any free throws, which is often a good thing for RJ. Egbaji, we can move on. 4 points in his 20 minutes. Jakob Poeltl returned and made a big difference to them. He had 20 and 7 with 7 assists and 2 steals. Scotty Barnes, 19 points with 14 assists and 8 rebounds. 3 steals, 1 block. Very nice night for him. And as I said, Grady Dick, he got hot late. He had 27 points in this one. Not much else. He had a steal. He had 4 rebounds. But he went 6 of 6 from the line and had 8 of 21 from the field. So a good night for him. I think he's someone we need to roster. When Emmanuel quickly comes back, maybe that changes things. But I still think he'll continue to start, and he took the most shots here. So they're letting him go. They're letting him shoot the ball. So, I like Grady rest of season. I think he's going to be up and down, but he is their best perimeter scorer and nothing off the bench there. How could I not talk about him? Kelly Olynyk was back after missing the first, 22 games, however many we've played, 23. He was back. The fantasy goat. I put up his Houston run on Twitter. Go and check out that game log. That's interesting. And 4 years ago now, I couldn't believe it was that long ago. Feels like it was 2 years ago. Kelly Olynyk played 14 minutes. He had 13 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, 4 of 4 from the line, and 3 of 3 from 3. Now, he's not going to shoot the ball this well. I wouldn't be running to add him, but if he can somehow get to 20 minutes, 22, I do think he's someone to add. I just don't know if he does. He would have to be taking minutes from some of these other guys like Jonathan Mobo, Jacoby Walter. Emmanuel quickly has to come back. The path is just not there for me. In a deeper league, he probably only needs 18 minutes. So maybe he's worth a look, but I had to mention that he was back today. Memphis and Boston. Go away, Cross. Memphis and Boston, another upset here. Memphis get the win, 127 to 121. I think we can move on from Jalen Wells now. I think they're getting enough production from other guys. They've got healthy bodies back. And this is even without Luke Kennard. I think he's still out, I'm pretty sure. John Conchar, Zach Edey, G.D. Jackson. So I think we're okay to move on from Jalen Wells now. Let me get that up there. But as for the other guys, Jaren Jackson, he was very good. Ja Morant was very good. Desmond Bane looked okay in this one. The 3 steals are nice, 14 points. So the offense is still not quite all the way back, but he is. I think that buy low opportunity is probably come and gone. Maybe there's still a slight one there. Brandon Clark, his best game of the year, 18 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals and a block on 9 of 11 shooting. And the 26 minutes are intriguing. Zach Edey is still a couple of weeks away, so Brandon Clark presumably is just going to continue to start. And he had been playing 20 minutes, 22 minutes, that's not really enough for him to be a 12-team add. But if he's going to get 26, I'd consider him. He's very efficient around the basket, very athletic. He's always been one of my favorite players and just hasn't been able to. I just think he hasn't been able to reach that potential. Maybe we get something here. I would need to see it again before trusting that he's going to play 26 minutes. Asante Aldama, this was a concern. When he's not playing well, they just don't need to play him. 9 points, 6 rebounds. I'd hold him, absolutely hold him, because he's been so good. But, yeah, when everyone's healthy, this bench, it's hard to roster anyone with confidence. Marcus Smart had 3 points on 1 of 11 shooting with 1 steal and 2 assists. So this is not a line for a 12-team roster, but he had been better than this, so I would be holding him for Boston. No Al Horford. But Porzingis was back. He had 19 and 8. He looks fine. In fact, all the Celtics looked pretty good here. They just couldn't get the win. Tatum, 6 of 21, not his best shooting night, but he had 13 rebounds, 9 assists. Derek White, only 10 points, but 3 steals, 2 blocks. Jrue Holiday, 23 points, led the team. You don't see that too often. And I think I saw on Twitter maybe that tonight he got his 16,000th point. I found that really hard to believe. I didn't think he'd scored that many in his career, but I guess he's been around for a while. Peyton Pritchard had 22 points. He just continues to play really well. Sam Hauser left this game after 9 minutes with a groin injury or adductor, I think they're calling it, but same thing. So they just went with the big guys a little. They played their starters a lot more. Horford will come back into this lineup. So as we know, there's not a lot here in terms of streaming value when they're healthy. And the final game of the night, Miami get the win over Phoenix, 121 to 111. Phoenix continue to be without Yusuf Nurkic and Kevin Durant. So Plumlee got the start, only 2 points, but he had 11 rebounds. No blocks in this one. He's fine to hold if you just need rebounds with some occasional blocks, assists, usually an efficient scorer. Royce O'Neal, we're rostering him. He's played well in a couple of games now. 23 points, 8 assists. 8 rebounds, steal. As long as Durant's out, I think we hold O'Neal. We also had Ryan Dunn out in this one, so that helps Royce O'Neal. But I still think that he would be the preferred fantasy target over Dunn. Grayson Allen had 5 threes off the bench. He is also someone we want to be rostering while Durant is out, I think. Only if you need threes, he doesn't do a lot else. And Iguodaro played 21 off the bench, but there's not enough there for me in terms of fantasy upside. For Miami, good win for Miami. Jimmy was pretty good in this one, 24 points, 7 rebounds with a block. Haywood Highsmith, 14 points, a nice 2 steals, but I'm not really interested in him. Bam also had one of his better games. Offensively, 25 points on 9 of 16. So hopefully this can turn things around on that end for him. Tyler Hero, only 12 shots, but still had 17 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals. So continues his breakout season. Duncan Robinson, I've been talking about him for a couple of games, that there was a hot one coming. We got it here, 5 threes, 19 points. He doesn't do anything else, but when he is shooting the ball well, he is worth having on a 12-team roster. Terry Rozier is not. 0 points in 16 minutes. Just move on, I think. I wouldn't be surprised if we get a period through the season where he gets hot and he averages 18, 20 points for a week. But based on what we've seen, I don't think you can be holding him. I just don't think you have to. And that is all the games. Let's get on to some questions. All right, we'll start at the top with Ernest's question. Trade suggestions for a punt threes team, hoping to do a 2-for-1 so I can bring Herb off my IL. Players I'm looking to trade are Zoo, Herb, Gafford, and Tobias. So if you're punting threes, not sure why you're looking to trade Zoo and Gafford. Herb, yes. And Tobias Harris. Look, it's a hard question. It's hard to know. I mean, you're punting threes, but what other categories do you need? If you're looking to trade a 2-for-1, so getting rid of two of these guys, I mean, Zoo is sort of top 70. Herb is probably top 100. Gafford, top 100. Tobias, top 80. If you're looking to trade two of them, I'd be looking for a top 40 player in return, I think. I think that top 30, top 40, you'd certainly be looking to get the best player back if you are offloading two of them. Chad, didn't get to say this yesterday, but it was my fault. He finally started Talon Horton Tucker, and as a result, he had an abysmal game. Well, yes, he did. We don't need to talk about Talon Horton Tucker. G'day, King Ewan. Just lost France today. Clarkson and Thompson just got dropped on the wire. Need a small forward. Who should I go for? Ooh, so I'm assuming that's Clay Thompson and Jordan Clarkson. Clay Thompson and Jordan Clarkson. Yeah, that's right. Well, Clarkson's out. So, I mean, if you're looking for production now, it's obviously Clay. If we're looking for rest of season, it still might be Clay. I know I'm not that high on him, but at least he has a solid role and he's playing on a team that wants to win. Clarkson, if he has any issues ongoing with this foot, they'll just shut him down and they're probably looking to trade him anyway. So I would probably go Thompson. Paolo is a phenomenal buy. Maybe, yeah. Yeah, I think I think when Paolo comes back, he's obviously going to have to do a ton of stuff. And then Chad also says, yeah, Isaac back over 20. I think 22, but as I said, I'm not sure he can get to 25 or 27. M-Trix, West Tigers jersey, where you at? Yes, it is a West Tigers. Well, it's a West Tigers training singlet. I'm not going to wear my – well, I could wear my jersey. I've got a lot of them. I am in Canberra. That is where I am. I often travel up to Campbelltown and up to watch their games. Unfortunately, it's always a painful drive home, let's say that. If anyone watching knows anything about the West Tigers, you will know why it's a painful drive home. With Max Strus nearing a return, are he and Levert just going to be Huerta and Keon Ellis 2.0? Yes, I think they are. Levert's borderline now, so when Strus comes back. Strus was pretty good last year, so it'll be interesting to see how he comes out this season. Does he come out firing? But he did tail off, so I think both will just be streamed, guys. How safe is Wallace's role rest of season? I'm entertaining trading Monk for him since I want the defensive stat at point guard. Trading Monk to get him. I think his role is pretty safe. He comes off the bench and starts. It's a bit of a mixed match situation. But if we look at his, let me have a look at his minutes. I feel like his minutes are relatively consistent. Oh, that didn't work. All right, let's have a look at the box scores here for Cason Wallace. So minutes-wise, the last few games, 27, 23, 28, 36, 31, 33. He had one 14-minute game. That was a blowout. Then he had 26, 33, 25, 27, 28. So, look, it's up and down a little bit. I mean, for the season, he's averaging 26 minutes a game. But it is those defensive stats. He's getting you 2.5 combined steals and blocks. So I would, in terms of his role, I think it's relatively safe. In terms of trading Monk for him, I don't know if I'd do that. I think Monk's role is also relatively safe at the moment. And he is, I mean, Monk's top 70, Wallace is maybe top 100. So you're probably taking a little bit of a hit there. But if you only need the defensive stats, then I don't think it's terrible. Is Meechie Jehol when ball returns if Mann doesn't? No, I don't think so. Would I rather have Amen or Bilal? Amen for me. Amen does seem to be slumping, I agree. But I still think I'd rather have Amen. I think he just has more offensive upside for me consistently. I know we saw that sort of run from Koulibaly, but I think I'd have Amen probably a round or two ahead. Chad says, Grady, chilling in your IR because you didn't have a good... Yeah, look, if you didn't have a good drop to make, then that's fair enough. Word on Porzingis' severity. Nothing that I've seen. We know with Porzingis that the Celtics they're happy to just take their time with any niggle, anything at all. He didn't look bad to me. We're talking about the ankle injury here, I assume. I think he'll be okay. Maybe he misses a game or two, because of they want to be cautious. So I wouldn't worry too much. Shoni Knight says, do I ever watch cricket? I do. I watch a lot of cricket. And it has been a decent test series. Sorry for anyone that doesn't know anything about cricket or rugby league. The Big Bash starts here in Australia next weekend. So I'm looking forward to that. I do like sitting up watching a bit of cricket at night. Trade Mark Williams for Asar Thompson? No, I wouldn't do that. I would keep Mark Williams. I think Asar, I'm not sure what his ceiling is this season. I think he's going to be pretty limited, to be honest. I think we've already seen from Mark Williams that if he can get healthy and stay healthy, he could be a top 50 player, which is what we thought coming into the season. So nothing has changed my mind based on what I've seen. All right. Thank you again for all the questions. Very good. That will do for today's show. We will be back. Yeah, I missed yesterday's show and the pregame. Well, the pregame this morning was because I wasn't getting up that early. There's probably early games tomorrow. Let me just double check. If that's the case, there won't be a pregame show. There will not. First game is at 5 a.m. here in Australia. So there won't be a pregame show tomorrow, and there won't be a post-game show because I am off to watch Heretic again. No pre-game or post-game show, but then I'll be back for Monday, although there's only one game, I think, Monday, so it will be a very, very quick show. We'll still do the pre-game show and the post-game show next week, but they'll be very quick, so we might throw in some additional... I don't know, topics. I might get people on the show, see if I can get some Aussies. Maybe I'll see if I can get Mitch Casey on. He's been a bit absent, so I'll hit him up and see if I can get him on, and I might be able to even get someone someone on the show. If I do that early show, it lines up with America pretty well. So anyway, that will do for today's show. Thank you, everyone, for listening and watching. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.